From palms to pause to purpose. That's the nature of our message this morning. From palms to pause to purpose. We have taken time this morning, today, to raise our palms and proclaim our praises. Today, we pause to think about the significance of the Palm Sunday procession and what that means as it launches us into Holy Week. Today, we take time to discover again, or maybe for the very first time for some gathered here, the purpose of Jesus and how God desires to connect the purpose of Jesus with God's intended purpose for each of our lives as well. From palms to pause to purpose. And because this is the cusp of Holy Week, I want to invite you to pray with me yet again. Gracious Lord, we desire for our prayers not merely to be routine or rote. We desire for our prayers to be heartfelt and intentional. And so this morning, as we reflect upon the palms and the praises, help us to take time to pause, to ponder, to pray, in order that the purpose for which you have designed Jesus coming to this earth and the purpose you have designed for each of our lives might come into clearer view this day. These things we pray in your most holy and precious name. Amen. From palms to pause to purpose. From tinker to Everest to chance. Perhaps you're wondering, what does tinker to Everest to chance have to do with Palm Sunday? Those of you who are baseball buffs may recall that way back when, 1906 to 1912, the Chicago Cubs had probably the most accomplished double play combination in all of baseball. A shortstop by the name of Tinker, a second baseman by the name of Evers, and a first baseman by the name of Chance. From Tinker to Evers to Chance. Not only were they great, but they were famous because at the time, and perhaps some claim because of baseball lore, they may be the best double play combination in all of baseball history. You rarely hear about one without hearing about the other two. I can't help but reflect a little bit about baseball this time of year. It was, after all, the first day of spring earlier this week, right? The weather wouldn't necessarily reach us or have us reach that conclusion, but the calendar says it's spring, so it must be spring, even though the weather hasn't cooperated fully yet. Those of you who do follow baseball know that with spring comes spring training. And that means that beloved Chicago Cubs, beloved Chicago White Sox have been down in Arizona training, getting ready, as have my beloved Minnesota Twins been in Florida getting ready for the baseball season that starts this week. Believe it or not, won't it be fun to play night baseball with these kinds of temperatures beginning this week? Monday, Thursday, all the baseball teams start this week. So as I think about baseball and hope springs eternal with the advent of baseball, I can't help but also with so many others think back on the past. And one of the past events for Chicago Cubs fans is that famed double play combination from Tinker to Evers to Chance. You can't really think about one without the others. And this week, according to our church calendar, is a Tinker to Evers to Chance kind of week for us in church. From Palm Sunday to Good Friday to Easter. You can't have one without the others. The significance of each is tied to the others. And the scripture text that we have heard today, the Palm Sunday scripture and the passion narrative scriptures that we have heard, they all tie together. Not any one of them makes total sense without the others. Now, there are many, myself included, who would prefer that on this day, this Sunday before Easter, that we just kind of cling to Palm Sunday a little bit longer, that we'd wave our palms a little bit longer, that we'd hang on to this day. We'd revel in the joy and celebration of this day. Wouldn't it be nice just to soak it in a little bit longer, to sing our praises a little bit longer before so quickly turning to those nasty, horror-filled events of Good Friday in the Passion narrative, which serves as our second gospel for today? Why turn so quickly to the gloom and doom when we would much rather wave our palms a little bit longer and think how good life could be with Jesus as King? And that's just the point. To be the kind of king that God intended Jesus to be, he had to accomplish it through Good Friday, which led to Easter. The success of Tinker to Everest to Chance really depended on each of them working together to complete the double play. Had Tinker simply fielded the ball and then stopped to admire what a slick fielding infielder he was instead of tossing the ball to Evers, or if Evers had received the ball and then taken a moment to think about what a graceful, acrobatic second baseman he really was instead of pivoting and throwing the ball to Chance, had Chance not stuck his glove in the dirt or stretched for an errant throw, the double play would never have been completed. All three had to work quickly in harmony with one another. Likewise, if Jesus had stayed on the donkey and raised his arms as if to say, more, more, wave those palms higher. If he had preferred to ride the donkey all week long instead of sweating it out in Gethsemane, instead of enduring those courtroom shenanigans, instead of the bitter suffering he endured on the cross, then Easter never would have arrived. Yeah, it might be tempting to spend this day, Palm Sunday, waving our palms, remembering the ride in the crowds and shouting Hosanna a little bit longer. But the gospel calls us to do otherwise. The gospel calls us to pivot and face the evil intent of the onrushing events focused on breaking up God's plan. The gospel calls us to pivot from Palm Sunday's glory and focus upon all that Jesus suffered and endured as he defeated the devil. To bring about Easter with its promise of everlasting life and an everlasting king. A king who, unlike any other, comes to serve, emptying himself, as the Apostle Paul said, taking the form of a servant, so that we too would likewise become servants. You see, those three passages that are part of our Palm Sunday celebration from Mark 11, the Palm Sunday proclamation, from Philippians 2, talking about Jesus' role, to the Passion narrative from Luke 23. They all work in harmony together. They help us understand God's purpose. As Paul says it this way, Jesus humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And we do that when we, like our King, become servants, forgiven servants who are so grateful for God's love that we cannot help serving others. From Tinker to Everest to Chance, from Palm Sunday to Good Friday to Easter, from palms to pause to purpose. You know, this weekend is a palms to pause to purpose kind of weekend for Shed and Chris Wiskowski. They are missionaries in Ecuador whom we here at Good Shepherd have supported for many, many years. And those of you who have met Shed and Chris know that years ago, they were called by Wycliffe Bible translators to go to a remote village in Ecuador, in the highlands of Ecuador, a village called Salasaca, a village that had as its oral language Salasaca Quechua, a language which had no printed form. So Shed and Chris went to Salasaca and learned the language, and then put that language, a derivative of Spanish, into a written form, and then began their purposed calling to translate Salasacan Quechua into the written form of the Bible, so that the Salasacan Quechua people would have the Bible in their own language. For 20 plus years, almost 30 years now, they've been dedicated to that purpose. That was their calling. And then having translated the Bible into Salasacan Quechua to help the people learn to read Salasacan Quechua so that they could read the Bible. This weekend, they dedicate the New Testament. They've just recently completed the translation of the whole New Testament into Salasacan Quechua, first time in history that it's been in that language. And they intentionally designed the dedication to be this weekend so that the people would not only be able to read the Bible in their own language just prior to Easter, but that they would also be able to invite their friends and family and others to come and celebrate Easter using Salasacan Quechua in their worship Easter celebration. Had Shed and Chris stopped and admired their linguistic abilities and kept that language to themselves, had they not persisted with their calling to continue painstakingly to work with other native translators to get the right nuance to all of the Salasacan Quechua words that would best translate the Bible to the people, had they not persisted in doing every book of the New Testament, and they've done a few Old Testament books as well, had they not persisted in helping the people learn to read and then encouraging them to invite, then none of this would have happened. But God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, in a tinker to Everest to chance kind of mood, enabled them to move through the translation of the whole New Testament so that this Easter, next weekend, the Salasacan Quechua community will have the Bible in their own language. That brings special significance to this Holy Week celebration from Palm Sunday to Good Friday to Easter. We know that as we read God's Word, and one of the reasons I like to read God's Word through memorizing is because it forces me to pay attention to each and every word, each and every phrase, and why they are connected. And that's what Shed and Chris had to do. I like to do that in English, not Salasacan Quechua, because that would make no sense to me whatsoever. But in English, I like to pay attention to all of the words, even the little ones. Did you, for example, notice the way in our scripture texts for today that the personal pronouns are used? If you watched carefully the way that God inspired the recording of the events in the Bible, each and every pronoun is significant. Follow with me for a moment. It has a tinker to evers to chance kind of flavor to it. From they to he to you. Follow along. Did you notice how often the pronoun they is used in the Passion text to blame? They began to accuse him. They were urgent, saying, "He stirs up the people." They all cried out, "Away with this man." They shouted out, "Crucify him, crucify him." They led him away. They seized Simon of Cyrene. They crucified him. They cast lots to divide his garments. Or did you notice how often the pronoun he is used in fixing blame upon Pilate? He questioned Jesus. He sent him to Herod. He released Barabbas. He delivered Jesus up to be crucified. Or did you notice how even the word you is used to accuse? The soldier mocked, saying, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." And the criminal asked, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us," he mocked. From Tinker to Everest to Chance, the pronouns in our passion narrative are used by the people to blame and accuse. Of course, we never do that, do we? But when Jesus speaks, it's all different. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And he, Jesus, would not respond to Pilate's accusations. And truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Jesus transforms they to he to you, from corruptness to forgiveness. He changes our sinful spirit to his servant spirit. From Palm Sunday to Good Friday to Easter, Jesus transforms us from sinners to servants to saints. For unless we are servants, in other words, forgiven sinners, we never become the saints God has purposed us to be. So, how do we know if we've really heard God's word today? How do we know if God's love is part of our lives? How do we know if we are truly part of God's family? How do we know if we have a servant spirit? Well, the difference is as clear, I believe, as night and day. The story is told about a teacher who, with his students, was gathered around a campfire one night. And as they talked, the teacher said to his students, he said, "How do you tell when the night becomes day?" Students thought for a little bit, and one of them said, "Teacher, I believe that you can tell when the night has become day, when you can look out across the horizon and you can tell whether the form of the animal is your dog or the sheep it is guarding." The teacher said, "That's a very good answer, but it's not the answer that I would choose to give." After they talked for a little while, another student ventured a response on behalf of all of the other students. He said, "I believe that you can tell the difference, or when day has arrived, the difference between night and day, when you can look out and you can tell the leaves of the tree and by their shape whether it's a fig tree or a palm tree." Again, the teacher said, "That's a very good answer, but it's not the answer I would give." Finally, after they talked for a bit longer, they said, "Teacher, help us. We have no more responses for you. What answer might you give?" He said, "You can tell when the morning has come, when you look into the eyes of a human being and you see your brother or sister. If you cannot see a sister or a brother in the eyes of another human being, then it is still night. That's why the work that Shed and Chris are doing in Ecuador is so important. And Ken, grandpa of the twins baptized today, you led those Ecuador mission trips that we took for some 5 or so years. You led us so that you know that those precious people in Salasaca are our brothers and our sisters. By God's grace, we saw that light. And Mary, the work you're doing with the refugee ministry and that important event that you've invited us to, it's in our prayer and action guide, the refugee ministry event on April 4th. You're doing that because you look at the refugees as our brothers and sisters. And see, that's the difference between night and day. God transforms night into light. From Tinker to Evers to Chance, from Palms to Pause to Praise, from Palm Sunday to Good Friday to Easter, God transforms us from sinners to servants to saints. Would you pray with me? Gracious Lord, today is a day of celebration. We have celebrated 2 very special baptisms. And oh, the joy that fills our heart this Palm Sunday is wonderful indeed. But we know that Palm Sunday is also the cusp of Holy Week, a foreshadowing of Good Friday, which ultimately leads us to Easter. Lord, help us to take time this Palm Sunday to pause, to ponder, to pray, in order that we might truly better understand the purpose for Jesus and how the purpose of Jesus is connected to the purpose you intend for each and every one of us. In your holy and precious name we pray. Amen.